to. They're necessary. You feel it. You just got to do it. Now, most of us know there's some sins that, you just don't. We can all agree on, it's always bad to murder, right, anybody? Rape is always bad, right? Come on. Abuse is always bad. I mean, wouldn't we all agree with those kind of things? But then there's some other sins that, they're more acceptable. I kind of put a definition here, and it'll be on the screen in a minute. They're acceptable, they're understandable, they're respectable. They're kind of just more ordinary. Maybe we expect them. Maybe we anticipate them, but it's just kind of something we do. It's kind of necessary to make it through life. You just kind of do those. But what I want to advocate, what I want to make sure I understand is that we all sin. And I got a little prayer here from David that I thought would be good for us to pray this morning as I talk about necessary sins. And so what I want to do this morning is I want us to read this together as a prayer. Can we do that? Now, that means you're going to have to read it too, okay? So you can pull it out. You can look on the screen. You can get your little folder out, your worship folder, and pull it out there. And we're going to look at this. So let's read this together. Can you guys go with me? Are you ready? Here we go. Search me, O God, and know my heart. I don't hear you guys. Yes. All right. Yeah. Are we ready? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. We're going to do this every week for the next 4 weeks. We're going to start our message like that. Because I want to talk about those kind of sins that are necessary. And I'm sure your mind is going, well, what's a necessary sin, right? If you watch that video, one of them is lying. Sometimes you just need to lie, right? I mean, sometimes it's... Now, I don't want to be alone here. So if you've ever told a lie, would you raise your hand? Anybody? All right. So we're all liars. Now, let me ask you a question. How many lies do you have to tell to be a liar? I've had this conversation. One? I mean, doesn't it take three or four before you become a liar? Now, I'm sure none of us lie today. I mean, you guys, your phone rings, you look at it, and... that's what's nice about phones now. You can see who's calling, right? Right? Come on now. And they'll go, didn't you get my call? And you, I didn't see that one. Come on now, text message, anybody? Don't say they're all innocent, okay? Now, and what's interesting about lying is this. Nobody has to teach you to lie. Nobody, you didn't gather, okay, kids, it's time to gather around. Let me tell you how to lie. Kids know how to lie. You walk into the house, you had that candy bar sitting on the counter, that Hershey bar. And you walk in and there's that little three-year-old standing there, chocolate all over their face, all over their clothes, Did you eat my candy bar? No. Am I right? Yeah. You don't have to have a conference on lying. But I do think sometimes we do. I always liked this when my wife and I talked about this one, because this is when we thought about in our lives. When the phone rings, now in the old days when you had your phone, you didn't know who called, right? Remember? The house phone would ring, you had no idea who it is. And so maybe you would say something like this. If it's so-and-so, tell them I'm... Oh, you guys know that one. Yeah. Are we teaching our kids... Laura and I talk, are we going to teach our kids to lie? Because isn't that teaching them to lie? Lying. How do we battle this lying? And I'm calling it a necessary sin because we think it's necessary, don't we? It's just kind of like we need, in order to fit in order to be accepted, in order to be liked, in order not to upset someone, in order not to hurt someone, in order not to, we lie and we tell these stories. And I just, And we kind of treat it like, well, it's just a little lie. You know, I didn't want to offend anybody. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at this next scripture. I think this scripture says something that's really, really powerful. Yeah, put that down there. God hates lies. And then look at the scripture. The Lord hates those who tell lies, but is pleased with those who keep their promises. We kind of make light of lying. It's kind of, you know, sometimes, and yet, I want to make sure you get the picture here. God hates lies. God hates liars. Literally hates liars. I gave you the, here's the definition of that word. When I looked it up in the Hebrew, here's what this word really means. When it says hate, it means this: detestable thing, an admonition, repulsion, the object which is loathsome and abhorrent. God hates lies. Maybe a better word, maybe I could use it this way. When you lie, you make God sick. Think about that. Literally, he wants to vomit. He is so sick of lies. And yet, how do we treat, you ever laugh at lies? Anybody besides me? You know, it's just, I didn't have a choice. You know, what else could I do? You know, they asked it, they did this. So I think we need to think about our lies that we say. Look at what it says here in God's word, John 8:44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to do what he wants. He was a murderer from the beginning and was against the truth because there's no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he shows what he is really like because he is a liar and the father of all lies. Have you ever heard the statement like this? That lies are from the pit of hell. Anybody ever hear a statement like that? Yeah. But we kind of treat lies as like it's necessary. It's in order to, you know, in order just to kind of get along in life, sometimes you just can't tell the truth. Well, that's a lie. Yeah. We need to think about our words and how we express ourselves. And so this morning, I want to talk about how we lie. Yeah. How do we lie? What are some ways that we lie? I got three things real quick that we lie at. First of all, we lie to others. All right? We'll lie to others. We lie to our friends. We lie to our spouses. Yeah. Here's the one I like. Now, maybe you can identify with this. I always like the grocery store. You go to Save Mart, and they circle on the receipt. You saved... That's a lie. I didn't save anything. I spent. You know? Anybody have your wife come home? I got some new clothes and I saved. You're as bad as Save Mart. My wife's looking in the door at me. Yeah. You know, but we act like we lie. It's a part of what we lie to others. Look at what it says here. Friends deceive friend, and no one speaks the truth. They have taught their tongues to lie. They weary themselves with sinning. Is lie sinning? Is lie a sin? We kind of treat it like it's just, it's what we do. I did some research trying to figure out how many times we sin a day. I did. I Googled. Anybody Google? You know, I'm Googling how many times we sin a day, you know. And one of the studies say we sin 1.65 times a day. I guess that's a half-truth. Yeah, I guess you tell a half-truth, you get the 6.5. Yeah. And so, you know, it's like, well, 1 point, that doesn't sound too bad. You know, I did another study, this college, University of Massachusetts, the professor put a camera in the hallway of the school, and they videotaped the kids, and then he had his class count the lies. The average was 3 every 10 minutes was the average in the college hallway. Study, the one I'm going to kind of lean towards as we look at our message this morning. And ladies, I'm sorry, but it says ladies lie on the average 3 times a day. All right, that's, you know, that's kind of an average 3 times a day. Guys, oh man, double that. On the average, it says a guy lies 6 times a day. I don't know how many times, 1.65, 3 every 10 minutes, 3 a day, 6 a day. I don't know, but I'm going to give you an idea of this. One is too many. What do you guys think? Yeah. But we lie. We tell stories. It's. You know, I was visiting with somebody one time, and they used to work at Taco Bell. Can you imagine? I go to Taco Bell. And I was visiting with somebody at Taco Bell, and something went wrong, and this was a rather a more mature individual. And she was working there, and she's going, these kids lie, you know, instead of saying, yeah, I did this, they just lie. And it's like, I'm not going to lie for a $3.50 an hour job. Yeah. But we lie. But I gave you a list of kind of sins that we tell here to see which ones. And I didn't put bullets there. I put check boxes. You know, that might mean you might want to put a check mark if there's any there that you can identify with. We always have the white lies, right? You know, just the little untruths. You know, it's just a white lie. We don't want to offend anybody. We want to be polite. You know, and so we'll just tell a white lie. And then there's broken promises. You know, you make a commitment and you fail to keep that commitment. You break a promise and that's a lie. And then there's fabrication. You don't know, but you put all this story together, and you fabricate some kind of a story. It kind of goes along with, who broke the lamp in the house? Anybody raise a kid to break a lamp in the house? Who broke the lamp in the house? You know? Oh, I don't know. One day at my house, when I was growing up, my brother threw soda on me. So I chased him down the hall and put my foot through the bathroom door when he closed it. Anybody ever do anything like that? Or am I just that kind of a crazy kid? The door went, thump. Well, my dad got home, and I told my dad, my little sister rode her tricycle into it. He didn't buy it. I had to pay for the door. But we lie. I mean, you know, I mean, it looked good. I mean, look, it's broken right there. Just she rode her tricycle into it. Yeah. Fabricate some story. How about a bold-faced lie? You know it's not true. You know it's a lie, but yet you just right in the face, a bold-faced lie. Or how about the exaggeration lies? These are fishermen lies, right? I caught a fish this big. You know, you got your fisherman lies. Or, you know, we exaggerate. We enhance the story. We enhance the truth. And then there's lies of deception. We want to deceive. You know, we want to make an impression. You know, we want to mislead somebody, you know. So we have deception. And then there's plagiarism. I wrestle, is this lying or stealing? I think it's both. You know, this is one that's a twofer for one. All right, you get 2 cents for this one. You know, this is a twofer. And then there's a compulsive liar. Compulsive liar, even though they know the truth better, they're going to tell you a lie anyway. They're just going to lie. Yeah. See, we lie to others. We lie to one another. We lie. It's part of our nature. Yeah. You don't teach a child to lie. You know what? I found an interview when I was talking about that study. I had forgot about this one. They say that a baby, by the time it is 6 months old, knows how to be deceptive. Anybody? You know, do those babies know how to manipulate mom and dad? Anybody raise a little baby? Yeah. Yeah. 6 months old. We don't. It's just part of who we are. You know, it's part of our nature. But not only do we lie to others, I want to take this a step further. Not only do we lie to other people, but we lie to God. We lie to God. There's a story in the Bible that is recounted in the book of Acts. And the church is growing, and the church is exploding on the scene there in Jerusalem and making a major impact. And the people get together and say, we're going to have to raise some finances. So they start selling things and bringing money to the church and giving money to the ministries. And so they're doing all this. And there's this couple named Ananias and Sapphira. And so they go and they sell all their stuff. And they're going to bring their offering. And it's up to them. They don't have to give it all. Nobody asked for it. Nobody compelled them. They don't have to give it all, but they come in with their offering. And Peter asks them, is this all? Is this all? Look at what the response is. And the property was yours to sell or not to sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You were lying to us, but to God. See, they told that not only did we give it all, but we gave it to the church. See, when I'm going to tell you something. When you lie, you're not only lying to your others, you're lying to God. You get the picture here? We, you know, well, I got it through them. You know, I slipped that lie right on to, whew, I made it that day. You know? I didn't oversleep. The traffic was horrible. Blame the traffic. It wasn't my fault. You know? And we have all this lies that go on. And so we lie to God and we tell, you know, we lay it on God's feet and we let God have it. But when we do that, it's others too. See, we lie to God, we lie to others, but we also lie to ourselves. I think this is one I wrestle with right now. I was thinking, I had a great time at the State Youth Conference. I still got my wristband on. Anybody still wear their wristband? Anybody? Come on. I still got my wristband. I think we're going to have a contest next year. I think the contest, whoever can wear the wristband the longest gets a discount. And I'm going to win. All right. But we go to the State Youth Conference. And I'm lying to myself. I'm at a point now where I'm lying to myself. When I was younger, I thought 20 was old. Come on. Yeah. And then I'm in my 20s and I thought 30 was old. Then you get in your 30s and you think 40's old. Now come on, you guys, come on. You guys are with me. Come on. You know, you turn 40 and you think the 50s are old. You turn 60 and that's not old, but then all of a sudden you realize, you know what? You're running around with 1,000 teenagers, and guess what? I'm old. Yeah? I have deceived myself by thinking I'm a young man. I still think I'm young. I really did. It's like, I'm still young. I'm just a young guy in an old man's body. You know? Because I think I'm young. I really do. I mean, you know, but I'm realizing, I'm trying to work with these kids that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, it was a lot easier. See, we deceive ourselves. You know, we convince ourselves. You know? If we keep telling the lie long enough, who believes it? We start believing it. Yeah? Yeah, yeah, it's like I feel young until I look in the mirror. I did learn some dances, all right? You need to learn. I learned two new dances at the State Youth Conference. All right? I was telling some of them I learned, too. I learned the chainsaw. They were doing the chainsaw up there. Yeah. But then I cut the kid's heads off. Yeah, I went down the front row. You know. Then I learned the shopping cart. So I learned two new dances while I was there. I'm trying to be young. Yeah, I give the kids a bad time. I walk down to the front because our kids get the front row. They really race to get the front row. And I'm down there dancing. I did the Macarena thing, you know, whatever that thing is. You know, and the kids are all laughing. On the way out, one of the ladies goes, you know, one of the ladies walking, and she's sitting like third, fourth row back. And she goes, you know, I really like that. You make the kids have fun. And I go, I'm an old man. And do we ever deceive ourselves? You ever deceive yourself? You know, well, I can get through this. You know, I can fit through there. I can get those pants on. Do we lie to ourselves? You know? I went to the store and I saved. Yeah, you did. You know? We lie to ourselves. Look at what it says here. Psalms 119, 27 through 29. Help me understand the meaning of your commandments, and I will meditate on your wonderful deeds. I weep with sorrow. Encourage me by your word. Keep me from lying to myself. Give me the privilege of knowing your instructions. See, we lie to ourselves. Now, some of us are married, right? There's several in here. You know, we're married. And there's a if you've been married long enough, you've got a problem, right? And what's fortunate for me, the problem is always Laura. Come on, am I right? I never have the problem. It's always, see, I deceive myself. Am I right? It's if she would just, she's in the lobby. See, I can get away with it. She's watching me. I know it. I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to get an earphone on the way to Disneyland. But don't we always do that? I'm not the problem. You know, you go sit down with a counselor somewhere. I'm not the problem. They're the problem. If they would just, I don't have a problem. Do we ever do that? I put that there. You've got a problem, not me. You've got the problem. See, we deceive ourselves. You know, it's not me, it's you. You're the problem. You know, you're causing the problem. If you wouldn't, and we don't, and we look at ourselves. The second way I think we deceive ourselves is we deceive ourselves that we're okay with God. That, you know what, I'm not that bad. These are necessary. This is really a good sermon for this. This is kind of a necessary sin. You know, everybody else is doing it. It just kind of fits with society. We all stretch the truth every once in a while. I'm okay with God. You know, I do the best I can. I'm basically a good person. You know, I'm basically okay. I'm okay with God because, you know, and we think we're okay with God. We deceive ourselves that, you know, I try to do right and I'm not that bad of a person and we you know, I try to be okay with God, and we deceive ourselves that I'm okay with God. And see, we don't understand that it's not about being okay with God. It's about being in a right relationship with God. And that, and I go back to that verse. God hates sin. Lying is a sin. Therefore, God hates sin. And it says it. It makes him sick, literally sick. And yet, how do we nonchalantly go along? Phone rings, and it's like, I ain't got to take that one. And then they say, hey, did you get my call? And it's like, oh, man, I didn't see that. See, we think we're okay with God. You know, I'm not that bad. I'm an okay person. I do the best I can. I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't raped anybody. You know, I haven't abused anybody. I don't steal, you know. Yeah, I tell lies every once in a while, but I'm okay with God. It doesn't work. See, we deceive ourselves saying we can be okay with God by just those kind of things. See, we need to see this, that we're living a lie. And it's easy to deceive ourselves. You know, most of us are good people. Is anybody here not a good person? You know, I don't think any of us would raise your hand and say, I'm a bad person. If I ask that, anybody a bad person, raise your hand. I don't think anybody would do it. Please don't. You know, I don't think we'd do it. You know, because we're all basically good people, aren't we? And so we deceive ourselves that by being good, I'm okay with God. It doesn't work that way. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. The way to be okay with God is to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. Then I'm okay with God. I've crossed that invisible line. But we deceive our. I think our world's in a matter of deception today. Yeah, I was watching the Rose Parade. Haven't watched it all yet. We recorded it on three different channels. I'm going to watch Rose Parade three times. We recorded three different channels. Laura and I just enjoy the Rose. But one of the parades had a float in there from a religious group. And and basically their point was all religions are okay. And it's like, okay. I don't buy that. You know? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't buy that. I don't think all religions are okay. Matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, I don't think religion's okay. All right? I don't think any religion's okay. I think it's a relationship with God that makes it okay. See, but we deceive ourselves. I'm religious. You know? And so we deceive. See, we lie. We lie to others. We lie to God. We even lie to ourselves. You know, that's who we are. I mean, it's just part of our nature. It's kind of ingrained. Nobody taught you to lie. I don't know about you, my parents didn't sit down and say, okay, let me teach you how to tell a good lie. I hope none of you had that kind of a parent. Yeah. I've watched some old John Wayne Westerns when they teach each other how to shoot people. The whole family is a bunch of criminals. Yeah. But that's not us today. See, look at what it says here. 1 John 2:4. The person who says, I know him, but doesn't obey his commands is a liar. See, don't get comfortable in religion. Don't be okay because you come to church every Sunday. And I'm glad to see you every Sunday. And I pray for you every Sunday. But don't be okay because you come to church. Don't be okay because you were baptized sometime. Don't be okay because you try not to sin or you sin as little as possible. You're okay with God when you cross that line and you follow him. That's when you're okay with God. See? And so the next few weeks, we're going to look at necessary sins. And this morning, I'm talking about lying. It doesn't matter whether you do it 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times a day, 1.65. It doesn't matter. It's a lie. And why do we think lying is better than the truth? Why? You know how much I enjoy going to. Matter of fact, I'm going to Disneyland after we leave here this morning. I remember my kids were little. And my mom and my aunt took Amanda down to Disneyland a day early. And back then we had 3-day passes. You had to buy the 3-day pass. And so Amanda had a 3-day pass and she went on a Sunday. We couldn't go Sunday. We show up Monday. And so she went Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Laura, mine, Jennifer's, and Jeremiah's pass was good Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Now what do we do? Now my aunt had a pass that was still had one good day on it. There was still one good day on that pass. Now, I could take that pass and give it to my daughter at 8 years old, and then I take mine and I go in, and we all go in, and she gives the pass and goes right on in. It had a day on it. And Laura and I sat there, and we wrestled with this. What do we do? So we went up, and I went over to the window, and I told the lady, this is what went down. I went up to the lady right at the window. It used to be the old Disneyland Hotel. We're at the monorail station. The Disneyland Hotel. And I sat there and I told the lady, this is what happened. You know, da-da-da-da-da, my mom, da-da-da-da-da. She goes, you know what? I really appreciate you being truthful. I really appreciate you coming up. Tucked that pass, turned it over, wrote on the back of that pass, it says, go ahead and go on in. Why is it sometimes we think the lie is better than the truth? What would I have taught my daughter if I had gave her a pass? Well, I know it's not yours, just use it just once. Why do we, you know? Now, I'm sure none of you know, you go to the movies with your kids and, you know, under 12 is cheaper. Come on. Yeah, children's ticket, right? You know, so you tell your child, now listen, we go through the gate, we're going through the door. When they ask you how old you are how old? No, 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 get it right. Get it right. Come on now. Don't set them all innocent, all right? Yeah. We wrestle with these things. Why is it that we think the truth is worse than a lie? Why is it? Yeah. So why do we lie? I want to tell you, I think some of the reasons we lie is because it works some of the time. And we think we can get away with it. I kind of put some things down here. I kind of put just a few here. Now, this is an exhaustive list. You can get some of your own. But sometimes we lie because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. All right? Do these pants make my look big? I told somebody last night, I can tell you the answer truthfully. You can answer no. Gentlemen, it is the truth. You can say no every time she asks you that, all right? Now, the second part is this. Maybe I shouldn't. Yeah, I'm going to do it anyway. No, they don't make you look fat. You are. Never mind. It's not the pants' fault. Excuse me. I'm sorry. You know, does this shirt make me look like I got a gut? Some people are shaking their head. Okay. It's the shirt's fault, right? Come on, help me out here. All right. But we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. We want to protect their feelings. So we'll tell a lie because we don't want to hurt their feelings. Right? You know? Why do we lie? We tell a lie to make ourselves look better. You know? Fill out that job application and yeah. Just kind of stretch the truth a little bit. Enhance our appearance. See, we lie to make our to look better, to make ourselves look better. Or we'll lie to get ahead, to help me get ahead. See, we lie. It's built into us. Yeah. But here's what I want to make sure you understand. You know, when you start lying, how many of us could testify to this? A lie's like a snowball. Once you tell one, it gets rolling along, and what happens? It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You ever tell a lie and think you got away with it, and somebody comes back and asks you, now I got to cover that up. Yeah. So you got to take a bigger lie to cover that lie up. Yeah. And they just kind of snowball on you, and it gets bigger and bigger. See, the more you lie, guess what? The more you lie, the more you're going to lie. You know, it's that's what we do, and we think it works. And so I want to ask you this morning, I left you a blank there. I lie because. Now, that might bother you to fill it out, but I'm going to ask you to fill it out. You know, you might not fill it out right now. Take it home while you're having coffee or you're at Taco Bell eating lunch. Fill it out. You know? Why? Why do I tell those lies? Why am I deceptive? Why am I broken my promises? Why am I exaggerating? Why am I doing that? Why do I do that? You know, am I trying to avoid some situation that's uncomfortable? You know, trying to avoid punishment? When you split the bathroom door, I didn't want to get punished. I had to buy the door. You know, do we do it to avoid punishment? You know, do we do it to maintain some kind of a relationship? Let me give you a little hint here. If you're lying in a relationship, you really don't have a relationship. Do you hear me? You really don't. If you're lying to keep that relationship going, if you're being deceptive, you don't have a relationship. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't happen that way. You know, why do we lie? Are we trying to protect somebody's feelings? I put a bunch of things down here that you don't like the truth. You lie because you just don't like the truth. You don't want to put that down because it just sounds so bad. I'm not that bad, you know. You're afraid of what others are going to think about you. Afraid you're going to lose your job. You know, why do we lie? You know, why do we do it? You know, we think we're going to get away. We think it's going to work. Like, I like this, Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seems right to a person, but eventually it ends in death. There's a way that seems right. It made sense. That lie worked. It really made sense. It seemed like it was the best thing to do at the time. Yeah. But why do we lie? Why do we exact? Why do we? See, God hates lying. It makes him literally sick. And yet we do it. Why do we do it? Because I'm going to tell you. I put this one here. Lies will always catch up with you, but the truth will set you free. Lies will always catch up with you. I had a deception in my life. I'm not going to tell you that. Some of you guys know the deception. I had a deception in my life that went on for over 40 years. 40 years. This deception went on. And then finally, I find out. You know, and it's like, for me, it was like, what's the big deal? You know, I don't understand why all the deception, why all the lies. Why didn't somebody just say da 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 da? It took 40 years, but the truth came out. Anybody have testimonies like that? That, you know, you bury this thing, and a year later, there it is. It's like, oh, man. See, lies always catch up with you sooner or later. You know, I'm sitting here watching the news and watching people who've lied on their resumes, losing their jobs. Anybody see those on the news? You know, they exaggerate, you know, and they're lying on their resumes. I was visiting with somebody just the other day, and we were talking about it. I'm going to tell you, if you go for an interview and you lie, and I'm on that interview, you're done. You know? They caught a guy flat out lying. I mean, he flat out lied in front of three people doing the interview. Yeah. You're toast for me. I mean, yeah. If you can't even tell a truth for 20 minutes in an interview, how am I going to hire you? But why do we think sometimes the truth is worse than the lie? That we can slip this thing through. Why do we do that? But here's what I want you to know. Jesus sets us free from those lies. Jesus sets us free from those lies. See, because if you tell a lie, I'm going to tell you, those lies emotionally wear on you, don't they? Come on. Do those lies just kind of emotionally, you're trying to figure out, now what am I going to do? What am I going to do if they find out? How am I going to deal with it when they know the truth? What's going to happen when this slips out? You know, that starts running through your head. Emotionally, that will kill you. You know, it says death there. You know, eventually it leads to death. I believe that. Physically, people who lie just eats away at them. Physically. Spiritually, you are dead. I mean, God hates sin. He hates lying. It's plain. Yeah. See, but Jesus sets us free. Yeah. Those sins don't have to make us a prisoner. Those sins don't have to imprison our minds, our hearts, our bodies, because he sets us free. So I put here, what are you going to do about it? First, you need to confess your sins to God for forgiveness. You got to go to God and ask, you know, God, confession is simply agreeing with God. Will you agree with God that lying is horrible? Anybody? Would you agree with God that lying is not necessary? See, that's what it is. And so confession is just simply stepping back and saying, God, I know your truth. And I know the truth will set me free. And so, God, I want to put my heart right with you. You need to confess your sins to God for forgiveness. All right? If you want to be set free from the sins of lying and what you think's necessary, you got to confess it to God. Look at what it says, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All right? We need to confess our sins to God. God, I've screwed up. I've been deceptive. I've been, you know, God, it's only been white lie. It's only been a broken promise. It's only been, God, you need to confess it to God. The second thing I put here, you need to confess to people for healing. Now, I'm not saying you got to come up and confess to everybody. There's a great preacher story. Now, this is a preacher story, all right? There was a lady in the church that was having all sorts of affairs. These men were pursuing this woman in the church. Again, I tell some stories. I don't know if I should tell from the pulpit. I just don't know. If I ever cross the line, somebody tell me. I know Laura will. But she's had this affairs with a lot of the guys in the church. And so she comes and tells the preacher, I need to confess. So she turns around and starts naming the guys in church. You know, preachers, yeah, you worry about stuff like that. Yeah. But you do need to go to that circle that was affected by and infected by that sin and confess that sin. If you want to be healed and you want to be whole, you need to make it right. You know? Yeah, you called. I'm sorry. I just didn't want to talk to you. I was busy. Yeah, yeah, I got your text message. I thought you were joking. See, we need to go and make it right. You got to be for help. Look again. Therefore, confess our sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. A healing. I like this. Do you get the picture? You go to somebody you've offended. You go to somebody that's hurt. You go to somebody that's been involved, and you sit there and say, you know, I'm sorry. You know, this is what happened. You know, I can make all sorts of excuses. I can rationalize it. You know, I was protecting. I was whatever. But, you know, I'm sorry. And I like what the verse is there for. Confess your sins to one another. But don't stop there. Pray with one another. That's where the healing comes. You know, it's not enough to go, I'm sorry. Yeah. Anybody have a bunch of snotty-nosed kids? Ever hear them apologize? I'm sorry. They really mean it? I had my 3 grandkids with me this week. It was fun. Yeah. Mom really made them. You got to tell her you're sorry. Not like that. Mean it. Yeah. When you go and it's like, I'm sorry. I violated your trust. Can we pray about this? Will you forgive me? Does that make sense? See, that's a healing. That's a healing. That's a healing of the relationship. That's a healing of you emotionally and spiritually and physically. Do you see? We confess to God for that forgiveness. And we confess to one another so that we can have a healing. You get the picture. See, I want to tell you, sin is not necessary. Lying is not necessary. Our society says it's just part of life. It's what you got to do to kind of get through. But I want to tell you, lying is not necessary. The truth will set you free. So what are you going to do? Is the truth better than a lie? Is the truth better than a lie? Let's pray. You know, our heads are bowed. Lord, I just thank you for this time and opportunity to read your word. Lord, it's so easy to fall in to do things just the way the world does, to think it's just part of what we have to do to get along, to get through. But Lord, your word is the truth. And sometimes, Lord, we need to make it right. You know, as we're praying right now, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe there's some things in your heart that's just weighing on you. Maybe there's been some deception in a relationship. Maybe there's been just some little white lies or exaggerations. Maybe you just want some prayer. Would you just shoot your arm up and let me pray for you? Just shoot your arm up and say, I need some prayer. I thank you. Thank you. I see those. Thank you. I see those. Anyone else? Maybe someone's offended you and they've lied to you and you're holding on to it. And you won't let it go. You're just kind of clinging to it. That they've lied and they've hurt me. And maybe you need to let it go this morning. Would you just raise your hand? Let me pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands that were raised today. They're not just raising their hands. They're raising their hearts. They're raising themselves to you. Lord, there are some that are battling with sin and just trying to get through life and making those choices. It seems so easy to do what's right, and it does look like the right thing to do, but in the end, it's wrong. And Lord, I just ask you to give them wisdom, give them knowledge, strengthen them to stand on the truth, set them free from the burdens of deception and brokenness, Lord, and be with them. And then, Lord, there's others of us who've been hurt, been lied to, abused, and it hurts so bad, Lord. Lord, it's hard to let go. And I just pray that you'll set us free from that, Lord. I lift these up to you that you'll free their heart, that you'll lay upon their mind that forgiveness and the care and the concern, that you hear it, that you've heard it, that you've seen their heart, that they're not alone, Lord, that they are in your presence and that you're picking them up, wrapping your arms around them, and loving on them in the midst of that pain, in the midst of that brokenness. Encourage them and strengthen them. Lord, we're your people today. We thank you for your words, your truth, that there is no lie in you, and that in spite of our failures, in spite of our faults, you love us. For we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and that we are set free through him. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. We always have an invitation at the end of our service, and invitation is real simple. It's just, I'm just here to pray with you. I don't know what's going on in your life, and maybe you've never crossed that line. Maybe you've deceived yourself thinking you're okay. I'm okay. I'm a good person. I'm okay. I really don't do that many things bad, but if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you're not okay with God, as plain as I can say it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. Have you crossed that invisible line? God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Maybe you need to pray that prayer. I'm here to pray with you. Maybe there's just other things that's on your heart, on your mind. I'm just here to share with you. I'm just here to pray with you. It's up to you as the Spirit leads you. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to sing the song. And then you come as the Spirit leads, and we'll give God the glory and the honor. It's going to be seated right where you're at. I pray you know how great God is, that, you know, as I wrapped up the message, I pray you know the freedom that God has, that he has for you, that grace, that mercy that God has. He's a great and awesome God. Thank you for letting me share with you for a few moments this morning. Go ahead and pull that blue card out, whether you fill it out for the first time or maybe it's 1,000 times. Let me know what God is. Maybe you want to share something about what I've shared. Maybe I did go too far with some of my stories, but let me know. Let me know how we can minister, how we can serve together, how we can accomplish God's will. So take a few minutes and fill that out. Let me know. Then drop it in the offering bag with the gifts and offerings, and we'll give God the glory and the honor. So just take a few minutes to do that. We're going to invite our ushers forward. One of them will lead us in a word of prayer.
I have some announcements for you. Aren't you excited? And I think you have something too with Katie.
Yeah, I'll talk about that.
Okay. So one thing that we've missed on our slides, and I want to make sure you guys got it. In the bulletin, there's a church breakfast coming up. So in case you missed it, it's in here. It's this coming Saturday at Denny's on McHenry. So if you have questions about that, you can talk to anyone and they can fill you in on the details. There's also small group Bible studies. If you're not a part of one, we want to encourage you to plug into one. I know we've talked about that many times, but it's so important that you get together with a small group and that you have that core group to be able to go to and talk to when you need something. And just to be able to share in God's word, it's awesome because you learn so much from each other. Also, coming up, we have Awana is going to be starting back up on the 15th. kind of took a little break for the holidays, but now we're going to be starting back up. So we want to encourage you to put that on your calendar. And leaders, you probably know that already, so make sure you have that down. And then at the end of the month, we're going to be doing open mic again. We kind of took a little hiatus through the holidays also, but we're bringing it back. We're going to have some fun with this. If you're not sure what that is, basically it's an evening to get together, share music. If you play an instrument, you can share a poem, a reading. If you want to do a play, we've had all kinds of crazy stuff go on. We've had games. It's just been a lot of fun. So I want to encourage you to come be a part of that. Put it on your calendar. It's usually an hour. And if you want to do something, let me know so I can put you on the sign-up list for that. And we'll just have a good time. It's very informal and fun. So, Gary?
All right. Hey. I can't. She won't let me sing. Can I do my new dances?
Sure.
Why are you guys laughing? Why are you guys laughing? State Youth Conference was an awesome. I want to thank you guys because you guys do the fundraiser. We do the fireworks booth. We have the hamburger fundraisers. You do the various things to help the kids go. It costs about $3,000 for us to go, but there's 15 of us there. But I want to tell you, the workers there. Since I do the safety, I just kind of walk around and do safety. The workers there came up to me. And we're saying, the group of kids that were there, there's about 1,100 of us there, that our kids were awesome. That they've had kids in there writing on the walls and doing all sorts of things. And they were talking about how good our kids were. And then several of us played a game at one of the exhibits. And the guy had this game that we were playing at the exhibit. And the guy came up to me the last, as we were leaving, the guy goes, I want you to tell you something. Your youth group was great. It had a good spirit and a good attitude. And you ought to be proud of those kids. So I want you guys to know, our youth group, not just the whole group, but some of the exhibitors are talking about the youth group that we have there that came up. We were playing some game and they were just teaching us some things about missions, and we had fun. But I want to just kind of give you a rundown. 1,100 people there, almost 1,100. Two made professions to be in the gospel ministry, to be preachers. Two made professions to be missionaries. 90 made rededications. 90 plus made rededications. 60 plus accepted Jesus Christ for the first time. And so you're talking about 15% of the people, of the kids there, made decisions. Probably more than that, because that doesn't count. That's everybody, not count the adults. And so it's a great opportunity. Next year, Sacramento, make plans. Seventh grade on up, we take our college kids there too. They have a lot of fun. And Megan went to have fun and ended up having to work for a while first. But it really worked out well. But I want to just thank you guys on behalf of the youth and the church. Crystal does an awesome job keeping everything together and making everything work. Stephen went this year. Marianne went this year. And it allows me to be safety. And I have a lot of fun with the kids and dancing in front of everybody. And we just have a good time. But I want to make sure I say thank you to the church for that. The second thing is, if you want to learn how to lie, I found a webpage that gives you 14 steps on lying. And what's so interesting, there's 5.5 pages of how to lie, and there's about 1.5 inches on the warnings. And the warnings are good, but it's 1.5 inches. But I mean, write down the lie so you remember if you're not very, it was really interesting to read the article. But then there's one other serious thing I wanted to encourage you. I'm going to ask you to pray. I know it went out last night on the prayer chain, and many of you already know, but if you don't, Evie's not here this morning. Evie's brother had a motorcycle accident yesterday, a very serious motorcycle accident. He's in the hospital, and it is very serious. God needs to intervene, and so we're just going to ask you to be praying for Evie. She flew out this morning, but pray for Evie. This is one thing I've learned. It took me a long time to learn this. Maybe I can help you now. Not only pray for the person who is injured, but pray for the family that's around them. So often we forget about the caregivers and those that are around. And it took me a long time to learn that. So I'm going to try to teach that now so you guys learn it. So pray for Evie. And her sister was halfway there. Remember, her sister Lisa was here. She was in Texas when she got the news. So she took 2 hours sleep and tried to drive on so she could get there. Her dad was driving 2 hours away. And so just be praying for the family and pray for Evie. Hopefully she should be landing anytime soon. My guess is anytime soon, she's about 1 o'clock or so. She should be landing and getting over there in Daytona area. So be praying for Evie and the family there. So I'm going to ask you to stand. Make that part of your prayer this week and see what God can do. And let's rejoice with Jacob and his fiancé, Jacob. Josh and Monique. See, I got you.